This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
I have been preaching about defy the odds. Defy the odds, and I'm going to continue that theme today about how we can defy the odds. There was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, he's often referred to as the weeping prophet. But let's see what Jeremiah says to us in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. He said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me." Let me explain something, folks. There can be times in your life when you're hurt with God. You feel like God's disappointed you. Feel like God's let you down. Feel like God's betrayed you. Jeremiah said, "I was there. I was hurt with God. I said, God, you've deceived me. Thou art stronger than I. Thou hast prevailed." Jeremiah said, I'm in a derision daily. I'm in a time of discouragement. I'm in a time of depression. I'm in a time of despondency. I'm in a low time daily. He said, seems like everybody's mocking me. Seems like I really don't even have a true friend. Everybody's mocking me. "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me." Let me explain. Jeremiah was a prophet to Israel for 40 years. But if you study his life, he didn't have much fruit. He didn't have much success. It wasn't there. But he was just faithful, folks. What we've got to do is obey God, be faithful to him, and leave the results to God. I believe it will take another world to reveal who the great preachers really were. Because God's just called us to be faithful. And he said, "My ministry was for 40 years, but it seemed like not much really happened in my ministry." He said, "I'm in this depression daily. Then I said, I'll not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." What's he saying? I'm done. Stick a fork in me, I quit. Stick a fork in me, I'm through. I don't want to do it anymore. I quit. But then he said something. But. Thank God for buts. But his word was in my heart as a fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I just could not stay. I just could not stay. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in your presence, I pray today that you will speak to us and through us. I pray today that you will meet the needs of your precious people. Thank you for all you're doing. And I pray this prayer with a grateful heart. I pray this prayer in the name above every name. That's the name of your Son. That's the name of our Savior, Jesus, the Lamb of glory. Until you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about how to defy the odds when you want to quit. How to defy the odds when you want to quit. The Olympics Games in 1968 were in Mexico City. There was a runner there from Tanzania. His name was John Stephen Akwori. John Stephen Akwori from Tanzania, running there to represent his country. He was running, and the story says that he got a cramp. And when he got the cramp, he fell. He fell and he gashed his knee, but what he probably didn't know at that time, he dislocated his knee. Not only did he dislocate his knee, but he dislocated his shoulder. He was treated briefly, and then John Stephen Akwori was back in the race. Now, he finished the race, but actually when he finished the race, The race had been over for better than 1 hour. And they asked John Stephen, "Why didn't you just stop? Why didn't you just quit?" And these were his words. He said, "My country didn't send me 5,000 miles to start a race. My country sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race." They didn't send me 5,000 miles to start a race, but they sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. Now, we live in a culture that almost creates quitting. If it don't work out, you just quit. Just quit on God. Just quit on your family. Just quit on marriage. Just quit on your church. Everybody gets a participation award. So if it don't work out, we simply just quit. But I want to tell you something. I believe God's saying to us, don't quit. I believe God's saying to us to stay in the fight. I believe God is saying not to give up on your marriage, not to give up on your health, not to give up on your dreams, not to give up on your career, not to give up on your children, not to give up on those that are wayward, but to stay in the fight and simply don't quit. Now, let me give you some of the story. There's some things we know about Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:5 says this, that when he was in his mother's womb, he was ordained to be a prophet. I've often said, folks, there are accidental parents, but there are no accidental children, because God's got a plan and purpose for every life. And God had a plan and purpose for Jeremiah. For 40 years, he was a prophet to Israel. But you know what's amazing? His family turned on him. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was accused of treason. He was thrown in jail. He was thrown in a well. He was forbidden from being able to have even a wife. And he finally reaches the point that the weeping prophet says this, "I can't take it anymore. I'm hurting God. I'm in a depression daily. I've cried and cried and cried." And he said, "I just want to quit. I just want to quit." But then he said, "But his word was in mine heart as a fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing because I could not stay." This is all I want to say. The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against God." The scripture we memorize, we utilize, and it's so important, ladies and gentlemen, that we get the word of God in our hearts. Because he said, "It was the word in my heart. It was shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I said, "Pastor Benny, have you gone through some times that you wanted to quit?" Sure I have. Sure I have. Somebody said life is mountains and valleys. Not really. Let me tell you what life is, folks. Life is two tracks. There's two tracks in your life. Here's what I want you to understand. There's going to be the track that everything's going pretty well on. And there's going to be the track that things are not going well on. That's why sometimes we say, "Pastor, I'll be happy when everything gets just right." Listen to me, everything's never going to get just right. Let me tell you something. The greatest days of Rock Springs Church, when we were being celebrated and people were saying how wonderful it was, many times in my personal life, I was walking through a very, very difficult time. Many times in my personal life, there's two tracks. And you've got to just decide, which track am I going to focus on? Now get this. Jeremiah said, "I wanted to quit." I've said the same thing. What do you recommend, Pastor, that a person does when they reach the point that you want to quit? Well, here's what you've got to do, friend. You've got to change your focus. When you want to quit, you simply got to change your focus. Little boy lost his glass, one of his lenses in his glass. And he looked and he looked and he looked. And he couldn't find it. Finally said to his mother, "I can't find it." And she goes outside. In just a few moments, she finds it. And he said, "Mama, how did you find it when I couldn't find it?" She said, well, you were looking for a glass lens, but I was looking for $300. It's your focus. It's getting the focus right. So it's so important that you get the focus right. So when I want to quit, Pastor Benny, what do I need to focus on? Let me give you six things. I'll do them as fast as I can. First of all, you need to focus on the Savior. You need to focus on the Savior. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. See, every time I've been discouraged, disenchanted, dismayed, disheartened, depressed, I always got my eyes on something or somebody other than Jesus. Every time I've been in a derision, I always got my eyes on something or somebody other than Jesus. But when we realize that God sent his son, and Jesus Christ left heaven, ladies and gentlemen, he was born in a manger. He was born in a feeding trough. According to John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But even after he was born, John 8:41 said he was born out of fornication. He wasn't born like us. He was born out of fornication. Matthew 8:20 says, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He wasn't wealthy. He said, I have nowhere even to lay my head. He was betrayed. The Bible says in Matthew 26:56, all the disciples forsook him and fled. They spit into his face. They plucked his beard. They put spikes through his wrists. They blindfolded him and smote him and said, prophesy who it is that hit you. They placed his body at a 45-degree angle. And he was scourged. He was beaten with a cat of nine tails. Most men did not live through it because the intestinal tract would be jerked out. He hung 6 hours in a Palestinian desert. Medical experts tell us that he died of hypovolemic shock. That is, his body had lost so much blood. His heart was trying to pump the blood, but there was no blood to pump. The kidneys wouldn't produce urine. And that's why he said, I thirst. The one who measured the Atlantic Ocean out in the hollow of his hands said, I thirst. The one who measured the Pacific Ocean in the hollow of his hand, said, I thirst. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because Isaiah 53:5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I don't know what you're going through, ladies and gentlemen, but I do know this. When I look at what I'm going through in light of what he went through, what I'm going through seems so small. So when I want to quit, it's just a good indicator I need to look at the Savior. But I'll tell you something else. It's a good indicator that I need to look at the showers of blessings. Look what the Bible says. And I will make them and the places round about my heel a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. And there shall be showers of blessings. Can I tell you something, folks? There's blessings all around you. You just got to look for them. You say, Pastor, I don't know how I've been blessed. Well, let me just remind you. Psalms 103. Look at verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You say, well, what are the benefits? Well, look what it says. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't come to rub my sins in. He came to rub them out. You tell me I don't have a benefit? I am forgiven. God has forgiven my sin. They're cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me again. Look, who forgives all thy iniquities? Look, and heals all thy diseases. What about, ladies and gentlemen, the health that we have? You're able to be here. The health that we have. Barbara's mother, she died of cancer at 53. And Barbara had been having some issues and was going and getting tests just like her mother did, because they said you monitor it real close because this could be hereditary. So we've been going for test. And I would pray with Barbara, and we'd pray, and just we wouldn't say anything about it because we didn't want a lot of fanfare. We just wanted to pray. We just prayed and prayed and prayed. And this week I was in the jail, and Barbara called. And I said, I told her not to call. I was going to be in jail. And she said, Benny, I've just got to talk to you. I said, what is it? She said, I just got the report. I'm 100% cancer free. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities and healeth all thy diseases. Look what the Bible says. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. I wonder how many times God's watched over us when it could have been destructive. I wonder how many times God's watched over us when it could have been destructive. This week the phone rings. I know the voice, folks. Daddy. Savannah. I knew it wasn't real good. I know that tone. I've been doing it a long time, Daddy. Daddy, I've been in an accident. Oh, Daddy, I've been in an accident. But wait, Savannah. I said, are you okay? That's really all that matters. You're okay. She said, well, Daddy, I hit another car, but it didn't mess my car up, and it didn't mess their car up, but I had to turn it in on the insurance. So I just want to prepare you, Daddy. Your insurance is going to go up. I said, Savannah, everything else is going up, amen? Everything else is going up. Yesterday, Barbara and I were at the gas station, and a guy was at pump 3, and he got $10 worth, and I said to Barbara, that'd get him to pump 4, amen? Anyway. Everything else is going up, but God is good. But we read on, look what he says. Look. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. What is mercy? Mercy is when God gives us. When God doesn't give us what we deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And grace is God giving us something we don't deserve. And look what the Bible says. Who satisfieth thy mouth. I thought, Lord, boy, you've satisfied my mouth. Most people are worried about something to eat, and I'm worried about eating too much, and you are too. You tell me God hadn't been good to us. Let me tell you something. Thank God for dirty dishes, for they have a tale to tell. When others are going hungry, we're doing very well. With home and health and happiness, we should not make a fuss. By the stack of evidence before us, God's been very good to us. See, this is what I know. When I want to quit, I'm going to look at the Savior. When I want to quit, I'm going to look at the showers of blessings. When I want to quit, I'm going to look at the saints. I'm going to look at the saints. You know what I enjoy doing, folks? I enjoy music. I can remember a song like that. I can hear a song and I can remember it like that. I've said to God, God, with the memory that I have to remember a song, why didn't you give me a voice? And look, folks, I love the music. I love, by the way, did you know the Bible says 8 times to sing a new song? 8 times. So there's nothing wrong with new music. Nothing wrong with it. But I got to be honest with you. I like some of the old songs too. And sometimes I research why they were written. There's an old song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Sing it with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Don't get too comfortable, Amber. Don't get too comfortable. I'm waiting in the wings. I'm right here in the wings. That old song, I have decided, it was written in India. It was written in India. There was a man in India gave his life to Christ. And the tribal chief said, you denounce your faith, or you and your family will be killed. And the tribal chief said, denounce your faith, or I'll kill your children. And that man said, no, I won't denounce my faith. And then he said these words, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The chief killed, had his children killed and said, I'll kill your wife if you don't denounce the faith. He said, I will not denounce the faith. And he killed his wife. And the man said, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. And then the chief said, if you don't denounce your faith, I'll kill you. And as they were killing him, he said, the cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. You listen to me closely, folks. When I look at the Savior, when I look at the showers of blessings, when I look at the saints, but when I look at the sinners, when I look at the sinners, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, in John chapter 21, Peter went back to his old lifestyle. Peter went back to his old lifestyle. And 6 disciples went with him. Here's all I'm going to say. Somebody's looking at you and me. You've got family and friends that are looking at you. And by the way, I wish I had more time to elaborate. What they're going to look at you, they're going to look at you when you're going through a painful situation and how you respond when you're walking through pain. They're going to look at you and how you respond when you're walking through pain. When you can have a heart of anticipation and a heart that's trusting God when you're walking through pain. This is what I've often said. I don't want to let the standard down. Because I've got a daughter that's watching me. I've got young people that are watching me. I never know who I might be affecting, and you never know who you might be affecting. And when you say church is not important, you're saying church is not important to my kids also. Everything else is more important than God's work. You're sending out a message. Let me tell you the fifth thing that we need to look at. We need to look at the soon coming of Christ. We need to look at the soon coming of Christ. The Bible says this, 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. I've said 1,000 times, the trumpet's going to toot and we're going to scoot. I've said 1,000 times, we're not going to take an airplane flight. We're going to take a plain air flight. I've said 1,000 times, we're going to leave here like Superman, come back like the Long Ranger. I've said 1,000 times, if you know Christ, you shouldn't be looking for the undertaker, you ought to be looking for the upper taker. You shouldn't be looking for a hole in the ground, you ought to be looking for a hole in the sky. You shouldn't be looking for the Antichrist, you ought to be looking for Jesus Christ. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't promise us preservation, he promised us evacuation. Amen. One day I'm going to stand before my boss, take my loss, eat my supper, and come back on my horse. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You say, Pastor, when's it going to be? 2400, Matthew chapter 24. 2,000 years ago, the disciples said, when's it going to be? Look, guys, look, this is good. This is good. It's good. It's good. It's going to get gooder. And it's eventually, it's going to get good and gooder, and eventually it's going to turn to dooger. Amen? I mean, it's good. He sat up on the Mount of Olives. The disciples came to him privately saying, when shall these things be? By the way, Jesus, what's going to be the sign of your coming? When's all this going to wrap up? We need to know, when's all this going to wrap up? Jesus said, guys, listen close. And he jumps down to verse 6. He said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. You're going to hear of wars and you're going to hear of rumors of wars. And right now we've got Russia that's invaded an innocent nation, the nation of Ukraine. Thank God for the courage and bravery of those people that love their country, that love their country. Putin's a madman. He's a madman, a typology of the end time. Typology of the end time. But what's so amazing, folks, while that's going on, literally while that's happening, China's talking about invading Taiwan. Literally, while this is transpiring, Putin literally said he wanted his nuclear program on high alert. We want our nuclear program, he said, on high alert. Russia's nuclear program is stronger than ours. They have 6,220 nuclear warheads. Last estimation, we have 5,500. A strong nuclear power. You say, Pastor Benny, does the Bible speak of nuclear war? 2,500 years ago, there was a prophet by the name of Zechariah. Look what he said. And these things, and this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they're still standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets. And their tongues will rot in their mouths. 2,500 years in advance, Zechariah prophesied a nuclear war. Jesus said, I'll tell you when it's going to come to an end. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation's going to rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines. 45 million people are struggling. And 45 million in 43 countries are struggling with famine. Today, while I preach, on this day, 21,000 people in our world will die of malnutrition. 21,000 people will die because they can't have food. So he said, wait. There'll be wars. There'll be going on all around you. There'll be famine. But then there will be pestilences. They will be diseases that seemingly there's no cure for. There'll be things happen like COVID-19 that will affect the worldwide 200 countries. Nobody's exempt from it. And 5 million people lose their lives. He said, I'll tell you what to watch for. You watch for the wars. You watch for the famines. You watch for the pestilences. But he said, no. There'll be earthquakes. And from 2004 to 2014, they were 18 earthquakes with a magnitude of 8.0. That's a 265% increase over the previous century. What's happening, folks? It's happening just like God said it was going to happen. If there's ever been a time we ought to be living close to God, if there's ever been a time we ought to be trying to get up close to Him, it's the day in which we're living, because His coming, ladies and gentlemen, is imminent. It's nigh at the door. This is all I'm going to say. When I want to quit, I just look at the Savior. I just look at the showers of blessings. I look at the saints, I look at the sinners, I look at the soon coming of Christ, but I'm done. I look at the seat of the Bema. I look at the seat of the Bema. What does the Bema seat mean? It means judgment seat. There's a verse I want you to see. It's in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all. All means all, and that's all means. We must all, that's you, that's you, that's me, that's you. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man may receive the things done in this body according to that he have done, whether it be good or bad. He's getting by. He hadn't gotten by the judgment. We're going to stand before God. Now get this, friend. Look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 3:12-13. I'm almost done. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay and stubble. What does that mean? It means everything that we do in life is like gold and silver, precious stone, or it's wood, hay, and stubble. This is all I want you to see. Where is wood, hay, and stubble? It's on top of the ground. Where's gold and silver and precious stone? It's underneath the ground. We haven't served God till God gets the glory and somebody else gets the credit. Wood, hay, and stubble is all above the ground. Gold and silver and precious stone is underneath the ground. Now get this. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It's all going to be made known at the judgment. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So when the fire hits the wood, hay, and stubble, it burns up. But when it hits the gold and silver and precious stone, it just purifies it. I spent years not really understanding that, but I do believe I understand it now, because the Bible says in Revelation, his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and Jesus' eyes were as a flame of fire. So when he looks on our works, it's wood, hay, and stubble, or it's gold, silver, and precious stone. Look, folks, I'm 57 years old. I've got a greater passion than I've ever had in my life. I've got a greater passion than I've ever had in my life. I've got a greater passion than ever. You say, I just want to retire. No, you don't need to retire. You need to refire. No, you need to refire. You say, well, I've got all this to do. Well, no, what? You better be doing something for God, ladies and gentlemen. Because we're going to stand before the seat of the Bema. When you want to quit, I just want to remind you something. Look at the Savior. Look at the showers of blessings. Look at the saints, the sinners. Look at the soon coming of Christ. But look at the seat of the Bema and realize I'm going to give an account before God.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.